No Commitments by Simon Brett, starring Rosemary Leach as Anna, Nicola Paget as Victoria, Celia Imrie as Charlotte, and Maxine Audley as Delia. Episode 4, Cracks in the Varnish.
This isn't the painting you're talking about, is it, Delia? Let's have a look.
Oh, no.
I wouldn't have thought this was valuable. Whoever painted it had no talent whatsoever. Who did it, actually?
Me.
Oh, sorry.
Don't worry. It was my only attempt, and at least I did have the talent to recognise I had no talent.
Ah.
Bless you for doing this.
Oh, no problem.
But I do hate being dependent on other people.
You're not dependent on me, Delia. I just happened to be giving you a hand today. And no doubt you will be getting a hand tomorrow or something or other.
You know, it was a married lover who gave me the painting.
Really?
Yes. In that first flush of guilty enthusiasm, when he was in the mood for romantic gestures. Whatever happened to our relationship, he said, he wanted me to take from it something of lasting value.
So you got the painting?
Just as well. Nothing else turned out to be even of transient value.
Oh, is this what we're looking for?
Yes. That's the one. What do you think?
Well,
it's all right. In my opinion, it's absolutely hideous.
Oh, good. You know, no, I always think there's something mildly unhygienic about pictures of dead rabbits lying across fruit bowls.
The question is, though, will it realise enough to make up the shortfall in my investment income for this year?
Well, let's hope so. And then at least you'll have some money by which you can always remember your married lover.
Yes.
What was his name, by the way?
Do you know, I've completely forgotten.
And is that all?
Well, yes, Doctor. What more do you want?
I just wondered if you'd had any more symptoms.
How many do you need? I've told you I feel tense and stressed. The children are getting on my nerves all the time. And not only do I not have Roger there helping around the house, I also have to keep traipsing over to Tunbridge Wells to visit him. Then my younger sister is behaving impossibly. And the cat suddenly chosen this moment to become incontinent. I mean, do you want me to go on?
No, no, I understand. You have every reason to feel tense and stressed, Mrs. Franklin.
Well?
What do you mean, well?
Well, what are you going to do about it?
I'm going to hope that your husband makes a speedy recovery as possible.
That's a fat lot of use.
He's not my patient. There's not much more I can do for him.
I don't want you to do anything for him. I want you to do something for me.
Well, all right, I can sympathize with you. I don't know what else you're expecting of me.
Honestly. Look, Doctor, I run our home single-handed. I take every decision about the house, the garden, the children, the pets. Roger only comes in to eat and to sleep. Never to help and certainly never to talk. That's how it's been from the start of our marriage.
Then I don't see why your husband's not being there makes that much difference.
But don't you understand? I'm the one who has all the pressure. I'm the one who doesn't have a moment to herself. I'm the one whose priorities always come at the bottom of the entire family.
So?
So, if anyone's having a breakdown, it should be me.
Ah, that's it. If only illness had the same sense of fair play that you have, Mrs. Franklin.
What?
Regardless of the justice of the situation, it's your husband who has cracked up. And you, in spite of the many pressures on you, are basically in extremely good health. You're not ill.
Then what am I?
You're under pressure. And you want the relief of telling someone that you're under pressure.
And that's all?
Yes, I'd say so. Oh, and I suppose you might be a bit,
You weren't going to say menopausal, were you, Doctor?
I wouldn't dare.
Quick word about Victoria.
Look, Victoria and I aren't speaking at the moment.
I know, but I think you should re-establish contact with her.
Why?
Because Victoria's got a lot on her plate, what with all this visiting Roger and hospital and everything. But I suppose what I'm saying is that this is a family emergency and we should all...
Rally round?
Well, yes.
I knew you were going to say that. Honestly, Annie, you sound so like Mummy at times, it's almost spooky. Anyway, I don't actually feel like rallying round at the moment.
But you must be worried about Victoria.
No. You're welcome to be worried about it, but I'm afraid I've never been any good at all that caring stuff.
Well, how do you know? You've never tried.
Caring, Anna, it's a very dangerous habit to get into. It's like typing. Once people find out you can do it, they never ask you to do anything else.
That may be true.
For which reason, I've never learnt how to type, either.
Well, maybe it's about time you tried.
Sorry, got to dash. Someone's coming to take me out.
But Charlotte...
Bye. Please... Talk soon, darling. Just coming!
Malcolm, darling.
Quick, let me in. Sorry, I feel so exposed out there.
Honestly, Malcolm, you're not going to see anyone you know.
Might see someone Janet knows who I don't know, and they might tell Janet.
Malcolm, you're paranoid.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for saying how nice it is to see me.
Well, it is, of course. Always. You look wonderful.
Mm. Well, I'm ready.
Ready?
All dressed up, ready to be taken out for dinner.
Oh, but...
We agreed last time, Malcolm, that we wanted to do more things together.
Yes.
Things apart from the obvious.
Yes, but...
You're the one who keeps assuring me that our relationship is not just physical.
No, 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 of course it isn't. Of course it isn't. It's just... We don't get along together, and... Because the physical thing's so very strong... Though it's not, of course, by any means the only thing. Well, it seems natural that we should want to enjoy as much of...
The obvious?
Yes. As we can.
Tonight we have all evening. Janet is out visiting her mother in Totteridge and thinks you're at a Gujarati version of Two Gentlemen of Verona in a pub theatre in Acton. I fixed to pick up Giselle from a friend at 10:30. We can go out for a lovely dinner and still have time for a full hour of the obvious, if that's what you want.
Well, I know what I want, Lottie, if you have any doubts about that.
Hands off, Malcolm, till later. We're going to go out for dinner.
But what if someone saw?
Oh, look, don't be so silly. Well, just go to the Italian round the corner. You won't see anyone you know there, I promise.
Lottie, don't you understand?
Malcolm, don't you understand what the kind of relationship we have at the moment is doing for my self-image?
Well, I'd have thought it made you feel good to have someone so besotted with you that he's...
Malcolm, there is a word for women who men only see for sex.
Yes, yes, I'm sorry. But you mustn't misunderstand me. I mean, obviously, your body, well... Well, from the start, I was bowled over by... But that was only a kind of bonus... What really attracted me to you from the first moment was your mind.
Oh, Malcolm. Well, come on. Let's go out and have some dinner.
All right.
And a really good talk.
Yes. Fine.
You know, the more I look at that painting, the less I like it. That rabbit doesn't even look like a rabbit.
No, it's a hare.
It doesn't look much like a hare either. Anyway, it'll probably turn out to be worthless.
Don't be so pessimistic, Delia. It might be an undiscovered masterpiece.
Oh, yes?
It'd be nice to know something about art, wouldn't it? Hmm. The varnish on the surface is pretty cracked. That means it must be old.
If only old with a cracked surface meant worth a lot of money. If it did, we could forget the painting and have me valued at Sotheby's on Friday. Oh, that's still all right with you, isn't it?
Oh, sure. Inked into the diary. And we'll have lunch afterwards. How about that?
Right. On me. If the painting turns out to be valuable, I'll take you to the Savoy Grill.
Ooh. And if it doesn't?
Fancy a Big Mac?
Hmm.
Be a nice jaunt anyway. I look forward to it.
Me too.
Unless, of course, there's some new crisis with one of your sisters.
Don't, frankly, I'm getting sick of it. I've waited long enough for this stage of my life, and now it's here. I don't want it constantly interrupted by demands from my siblings.
Good for you, Anna.
In fact, next time one of them rings up asking me to do some favour, she may find that I'm suddenly unavailable for booking.
Well, yes, that'd be perfect. Oh, excuse me. Hello? Oh, hello. Yes, yes, she is, actually. Just a moment. For you.
Oh? Victoria. Oh. Hello, Victoria, love. How are you bearing up? And Roger? Oh, good. Well, when would this be? Thursday evening? Oh, yes.
Oh, Anna.
Yes, of course I could, Victoria.
One large espresso, one cappuccino.
Thank you, Giorgio.
It's always a pleasure to serve you, Miss Grace. You're looking very beautiful tonight.
Oh, Giorgio.
No, it's true. It's true, signor, no?
Yeah. Could I have the bill, please?
Of course. It's first time you come here, I think, signor.
Yes.
I hope you come again.
Could we have that bill?
Of course. When you come again, I give you big welcome.
Oh, isn't that nice, Malcolm?
Yes.
Malcolm, I remember. Giorgio never forgets a place.
Oh, God. Well, I'm ready.
Malcolm, you don't want me to gulp down my coffee, do you?
Yes.
But I...
Oh, God, he's taking his time with that bill.
Well, this has been really fun, Malcolm.
Oh, it's all right.
But I think you can take those sunglasses off now.
I did stop for a quick word with Dr. Gupta on my way in.
Ah.
She's very pleased with you, Roger. Very pleased with the way things are going. The drugs do seem to be working, don't they?
Well...
No, they are, definitely. I mean, obviously the side effects Dr. Gupta mentioned are still there. Particularly the drowsiness.
And the dry mouth.
Yes.
And the sex thing.
Well, that's hardly important at the moment, is it?
No.
Anyway, all that'll get better. No, I think you'll soon be back to normal, Roger.
What's normal, though?
Well, it's... Well, anyway, Dr. Coopter's very keen on us going out for a meal on Thursday.
Ah.
At first I suggested I could take you home for the evening, but she thought it was maybe a bit early for that.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Don't want to run before we can walk, do we?
No.
So, anyway, I've booked us in for dinner in a nice restaurant in a local hotel.
Ah.
Be quite fun being up our usual patch, won't it?
Yes, and no danger of us seeing anyone we know here, either.
No, well... Well... I mean, what I think can happen, Roger, if we play our cards right, is that when you're better, a lot of our friends need never even know you've been ill.
I want them to know I've been ill. I want them to know what's wrong with me.
Yes, well, we can talk about that. I've got the children sorted out for Thursday. Emily and Harriet are staying with friends, so it's just Benji at home, and dear old Anna said she'll come and, anyway, so that's fine.
Hmm.
Dr. Gupta did even suggest that we could stay out for Thursday night.
Out?
Yes, she said, you know, if we wanted to book into a hotel for overnight, she thought that might be quite good. You know, change of scene, no pressure, sort of weaning you away from here. But, I said I didn't think we'd really want to do that, would we?
No.
No, early days. You are getting better, you know, Roger.
Mm-hmm.
And I know things between us haven't always been...
No.
And sometimes there doesn't seem to be time for... Well, I know I occasionally get a bit bossy, and then with Emily, Harriet, and Benji, it's... But I do still love you, Roger, in my way, for what it's worth. It is worth something, isn't it, Roger? Oh, Roger...
It's all right, Malcolm. You can stop shaking now.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's just...
Yes, but look. We've survived dinner without being arrested by Janet's thought police. We're now in my flat, which has recently been swept for bugs and concealed video cameras.
Yeah.
So you can relax.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Well, what's the matter with you? Usually you can't keep your hands off me.
No. No, you're irresistible. Irresistible. Actually,
What?
I would feel happier. I mean, I could really concentrate on you much better.
If
I just ran home to check that Janet's not there.
Thought she was with her mother in Totteridge.
Yeah, but...
And you're sitting in the upstairs room of a pub in Acton watching two gentlemen of Verona in Gujarati.
Yeah, I know, but... She's there! Oh, my God! She got back early!
Well, right, so she got back early. No reason why you should have got back early, too.
No. It's just... What's the time? How long would you say two gentlemen of Verona runs?
Oh, Malcolm, it's got to be 2 hours. Absolute minimum. You can't do Shakespeare in less than 2 hours.
No, you can't. No, it'd be... I say, you don't think it might be quicker in Gujarati, do you?
Malcolm! Go on! Go back to her!
Well, I just think it might be wiser, you know, tonight, given the circumstances...
Just go!
Look, I'll call you and we can...
Go! And...
Take this with you!
What is it?
It's the complete works of Shakespeare, so you can mug up on Two Gentlemen of Verona in the cab home.
Charlotte, please don't think I'm ungrateful, but I...
I'm sorry, I don't have an edition of it in Gujarati. Goodbye!
Right, now about Benji's homework.
Yes?
It's French tonight, always a bit of a tussle. I'm afraid Benji's not a natural linguist.
Oh, dear.
So Celie checks through everything twice. And he does have rather a nasty habit of mixing his grave and his acute.
I'll watch out for it.
Oh, and he may not understand if you refer to them as grave and acute, so if you wouldn't mind saying pointy back and pointy forward.
Leave it with me.
Yes, good. Now, I've booked an early dinner at 7:30, and I've got Roger's car, which is faster, so I should get back... Oh, 10:30 at the latest.
Fine.
And as I say, you're welcome to stay over.
Bless you, but no thanks. I've got this date with Celia at Sotheby's in the morning.
Oh, yes, the famous painting.
Well, let's hope it's a famous painting. Certainly a heavy painting, which is why I promised to drive her up.
Of course, well...
Are you all right, Victoria?
All right.
You seem a bit tense.
Me? Tense? Good heavens, no. No, it's just,
There's nothing to be frightened of.
No.
Well, there won't be anyone else there.
No.
Just you and Roger.
Yes. That's what frightens me.
Well, that was very nice, wasn't it?
Yes.
I don't think anyone noticed when you fell asleep in the creme caramel.
No. Well, I... The pills.
That wasn't a criticism, Roger, darling. In no way was that a criticism.
No.
No, it's a really nice hotel. Really attractive.
So, now we must get you safely back. Then you could have a nice long sleep and...
Oh, no.
Man's arranging for it to be towed to a local garage, but I'm afraid there's no chance of them looking at it till the morning, so I can't possibly be back in Beckenham until lunchtime at the earliest.
Don't worry, can't be helped. Where are you now?
Still in the hotel car park, using Roger's car phone. You will be able to get Benji to school, won't you?
I'll sort something out. Give me a call in the morning, about 7:45.
All right. I'm sorry about this. Bless you, Anna.
I'll think nothing of it. Bye.
Bye. Well, now, I'd better phone for a cab to get you back to the hospital.
Yes. Alternatively...
What?
We could see if the hotel has a double room for the night.
Oh.
Not the most original seduction line ever.
Hardly.
Anyway, given the side effects of these pills, ideas of seduction couldn't be less appropriate.
No.
But one thing I am very good at the moment...
Yes?
Is sleeping.
Ah.
I wonder, Victoria, would you like to sleep with me tonight?
Yes. Thank you, Roger. That'd be very nice.
Hello?
Charlotte, it's Anna.
Oh, hi.
How are you?
Bored out of my tiny skull.
Well, at a loose end.
You could say that.
Good.
He's settled down fine.
Excellent.
Giselle's awake, though, complaining of a sore throat.
Are you all right?
Oh, yes. She's a dreadful drama queen about that kind of thing.
Oh, is she? Fancy that. Anyway, thanks for agreeing to have Benji.
Well, I wouldn't have done if Victoria had asked, but since it was you...
Much appreciated. Through all her layers of cynicism, Delia's been getting quite excited about this Sotheby's trip. I wouldn't want to let her down.
No. No problem. It's not as if a great deal else is happening in my life at the moment.
No. Patrick?
Way.
And Malcolm?
Don't talk to me about Malcolm.
Drink? No, thanks.
Men are such slime balls.
Not all men.
All the men I come across are.
Well, perhaps you should stop looking for them under stones.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that you seem deliberately to seek out the unsuitable ones. Ones who make you go through a kind of elaborate bedroom farce.
That's not fair. I've never been in a bedroom farce in my life.
Name one of your men who's been suitable, then. Your ex-husband certainly wasn't, was he?
No, he was a disaster, but...
But? Okay, I've been unlucky.
It's not just bad luck.
Oh? So what do you reckon it is then, Dr. Freud?
I reckon it's two things. One, if you only mix with unsuitable men, then there is no chance of your having to commit yourself to one of them.
So fooey.
And second, you don't have a high enough opinion of yourself to believe you could get a good one.
What? Anna, that is such nonsense. I mean, I know I'm attractive. You can't grow up looking like I do without knowing you're attractive. Men keep telling me I'm attractive. I mean, I hate to be personal, but in the family I was always thought of as the pretty one.
Mm. So?
It's absolute balderdash to say I haven't got a high enough opinion of myself to get any man I choose.
That wasn't what I was saying. I was commenting on the ones you do choose, and also maybe suggesting that you only go to bed with them so readily because you're afraid you haven't got anything else to offer.
But, Anna, that is too...
Hello?
Charlotte?
Oh, Malcolm. I promise, Anna.
But it's stupid. I thought you'd made a firm decision you were never going to see him again.
Yes, I know, but I have to see him one more time just to be sure.
Look, the whole point of my bringing Benji here was so that I could get back home.
An hour. Honestly, promise. It's just after 10 now. I get a cab straight to his place, tell him what I think of it, cab back here. You'll be away by 11:15, promise.
But please.
I've been thinking about what you were saying just now.
Oh, yes?
About me always getting mixed up in a sort of bedroom fast life with unsuitable men. And I've decided that a face-to-face confrontation with Malcolm is going to be my first step out of that vicious circle.
Really?
Really, Anna. I mean it. I do.
All right. But, Charlotte Graves, you come back here 1 minute after 11:15 and I will remove your head without benefit of anaesthetic.
Bless you, Anna. I'll be back by then. Promise.
You know, Roger. What Dr. Gupta said about the side effects of those pills of yours. Well, she was wrong, wasn't she? No. It's wonderful you're getting better.
Victoria, I'm not getting better as quickly as you seem to think. It doesn't just happen like that.
No, but it's very encouraging. And you know, Roger, what I think...
Victoria.
Hmm?
Just for tonight, be quiet. All right?
All right. Night, Roger, darling.
Delia, I am just so furious.
Well, calm down, Anna. It's not the end of the world.
It is the end of Charlotte's world, I can tell you that. She swore to be back by 11:15 last night. It is now 8:15 in the morning. Giselle's woken up with a sore throat and a temperature. Benji's whinging because I can't leave her on her own to take him to school. And all the while, Charlotte has been indulging in yet another adulterous romp.
But, Anna, don't worry about me.
I worry about you. Why should my bloody sister make me change my plans? Because she can't... She, come back. I'll call you later, Delia.
All right,
Good morning, Charlotte. And what have you got to say for yourself?
Anna, I'm sorry.
You have made me pretty furious in the past, but you have never before done anything on this scale. How you could have the selfishness to take advantage of me in that kind of
way. I can explain.
It had better be good, because let me tell you, I am not in the mood to accept anything that isn't absolutely brilliant.
It wasn't like that, Anna.
What was it like then?
I got to Malcolm's place and we went up to his bedroom.
Oh, did you? Surprise, surprise.
Anyway, we hadn't been up there for more than a couple of minutes, just talking, honestly, when we had the key in the door downstairs.
Oh?
His wife had come back unexpectedly.
Oh?
Which was dreadful. I mean, imagine.
Yes.
And he hurried me up the stairs to the loft conversion. They've got a loft conversion.
Have they? That's handy.
Handy?
Well, otherwise it would have had to have been the traditional wardrobe, wouldn't it?
What? Anyway, I just got up there and I heard his wife coming up the stairs, so I had to stay. And then she didn't go back downstairs. She was up there. I was trapped.
trapped. I had to stay there all night. I didn't sleep at all. Hardly dared move. And it wasn't until this morning after she'd gone out that... Anna, are you laughing at me?
Yes. Well, I'm sorry, Charlotte. But for someone who denies it, you do manage to lift something extremely close to a bedroom farce. At the moment, she's overreacting to the situation like mad.
I can imagine it.
But I dare say when the next totally unsuitable man comes along, some atavistic instinct will get the old eyelashes fluttering again and... I wouldn't mind so much if I thought any of it made her happy.
That's her problem. Or her right, perhaps. Everyone has the right to be unhappy in their own way.
Oh, that sounds terrific, Delia. I'm not sure that it means anything, though.
Nor am I.
So, after what happened with the painting, have you decided which right you're going to exercise? Your right to be happy or your right...
Oh, shut up and eat your Big Mac.
In Cracks in the Varnish by Simon Brett, Rosemary Leach played Anna, Nicola Paget, Victoria, Celia Imrie, Charlotte, and Maxine Audley, Delia. Stephen Moore played Roger, Robert Bathurst, Malcolm, Peter Penry-Jones, Dr. Radford, and Nicholas Murchie, Giorgio. The music was composed by Elizabeth Parker of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. No Commitments was produced by Paul Schlesinger.